Now I wonder if we could turn in our Bibles to the 23rd Psalm. The Psalm 23, well known of course, and we'll just read down through the Psalm here. Psalm 23 and beginning at verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. We pray that God will bless this reading to our hearts for his name's sake. Can we unite in a short word of prayer, please? Our loving and our gracious God, we thank thee for our shepherd. We thank thee for the one who protects us, who provides for us, and the one who leads us into the fair pastures. And we pray, gracious God, as we gather around thy word just now, we pray for thy blessing upon us, and that thou wouldst be our shepherd today and guide us into all truth. For it's in Jesus' precious name that we ask these things. Amen. Amen. On the evening of the 9th of November 2011, after New York and Washington had been attacked by Islamic terrorists and the World Trade Center had been destroyed, the President of the United States at that time, George W. Bush, appeared on national television to address the nation. And he said, "Tonight I ask for your prayers for all those who grieve, for the children whose worlds have been shattered, for all whose sense of safety and security has been threatened, and I pray that they will be comforted by a power greater than us, spoken of through the ages in Psalm 23. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me." He quoted it in a modern version. But it is noticeable that in the midst of the greatest tragedy, perhaps the shock of all the events, the President of the United States should draw from this psalm as a means of giving comfort to the people. And yet it isn't really a surprise, because this is a psalm that has been a comfort to people right down through the ages of the world since it has been written. It's often called the Psalm of the Crook. The Psalm it lies between the Psalm of the Cross in Psalm 22 and the Psalm of the Crown in Psalm 24. We think of how the 22nd Psalm speaks of the Good Shepherd, and the 24th Psalm speaks about the Chief Shepherd, but this is the Psalm of the Good Shepherd. And we think of how the Lord Jesus Christ identified himself as the Good Shepherd of the Psalm. And he says here, David, "The Lord is my shepherd." And he is very personal about what he says. This is my shepherd. There is a personal relationship between the psalmist and the Good Shepherd that he speaks about. And you know, that is something that we need, first of all. We need to have that personal relationship with our shepherd. And that's fundamental. There's a little boy, young time, was asked to read the Psalm 23 to the whole congregation. And when he had finished reading the psalm, and he did it so well, that the congregation burst out into applause. But then the oldest man in the congregation was asked to read the same psalm. And when he finished reading, there was dead silence except for the sound of weeping that began to spread through the sanctuary. And the little boy afterwards went to the old man and he said, "What was the difference?" He said, "I read the psalm and they burst into applause, but when you read the psalm, there was silence and weeping." And the man said, "Well," he said, "the difference is this." He said, "You read the psalm, and you read it so well with such good diction, and you read everything so clearly." And he said, "You knew the psalm of the shepherd." But he said, "I have read it, and my diction wasn't as good, and the way that I read it wasn't as good. But," he said, "the difference is that I knew the shepherd of the psalm." And you know, there's a difference between knowing the psalm of the shepherd and the shepherd of the psalm. And how vital it is that we know the shepherd of the psalm today. And that's what we want to think about as we come to this psalm for a few minutes today. I want us to get to know the shepherd of the psalm. And there are a few things about the shepherd that I want you to see very simply as we come to look at this psalm today. And first of all, I want you to see the shepherd's provision. He says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." And the shepherd is one who provides for the sheep, and the sheep obviously cannot voice their needs, but the shepherd knows all about their needs, and he's able to meet their needs before they even ask. And we think of how the Lord knows our needs before we even ask. It says in Matthew 6, verses 7 and 8, "And when ye pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be ye not therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask." And isn't that a wonderful thing? Maybe you say, "Well, why do we ask then?" And the only reason is that God delights to hear us ask. And we think of how the Lord is delighted when we come and bring the needs to us. But I want you to think about the power of the shepherd to provide here. The psalmist said, "He's my shepherd." And where it speaks there, the word "Lord" there is in capital letters, and that indicates Jehovah. And Jehovah is my shepherd. That's what he's saying here. The Lord God of heaven is my shepherd. And what a marvel that he's able to say that. He is mine. He is able to put his label upon him and say he's mine. And I want you to think about what the Lord said 1,200 or so years later, just a few miles from where the psalm was probably written there in Bethlehem. The Lord Jesus said, "I am the good shepherd." And he identifies himself there as Jehovah. He identifies himself as the God of heaven, the one who had come and left heaven's glory to die on the cross and shed his precious blood. And he conquered death and rose from the dead. And he is the one who is sovereign, but he's also the one who is the Savior. He's the one who is able to save to the uttermost all that come unto God by him. He's the one who owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. He's the one who has made all things, but he's also the mighty Savior today. And he's done all that needs to be done to provide for us, not only materially, but spiritually, because he has died on the cross of Calvary. And in Jehovah, the name Jehovah, we have his majesty, and in his might, and in the title Jesus, we have his saving grace, and his sympathy, and his supplication. And he has done all that we need in order for him to provide for us and meet us at the point of our need. And he'll meet your need today, whatever it may be, whether it's a physical need or a spiritual need, whatever it is, maybe you're anxious today and you're cast down, but Can you say today, the Lord is my shepherd? He's there to provide for me and meet my need. And not only do we notice the power of the shepherd, but notice the plenty of the shepherd. He says, I shall not want. And he's confident in that. David once said, I have been old, I have been young, and now I'm old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. And you know there are many times when God provides the needs of his people. We can think of many wonderful stories, but I think about missionaries out on the field and the many times when God has stepped in just when there has been a need, and when they have been in dire straits, or when maybe they've been attacked. I think of missionary out there in the South Seas John Patton. His hut was attacked by the natives, and the natives were intent on killing him, but they didn't come near. And he didn't find out till many years later why the natives hadn't come near. And when one of them were saved, the chief was saved, he said, what happened that night that you came to attack me? And he said, there were figures of fire all around the hut. And God had sent his protection there in order to protect him in the midst of his need. And you know, God is there to meet our need. Sometimes with all of our materialism and with all the way that we look at the world today, we don't see the way that God meets our need. But you know, God is there, and he gives his angels charge over us to keep us in the way. And we thank God for the fact that he is there to meet our need. We think of the shepherd's provision. He's able to say, the psalmist here, I shall not want. But then I want you to think about the shepherd's peace. He says in verse 2, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. And there you have the shepherd giving the sheep a sense of peace and a sense of rest. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. Sheep usually graze from about 3:30 in the morning until about 10 in the morning. And then very often, having fed and been well filled, they will sit down and they will sit in order to rest a little bit. But it is impossible for a sheep, or almost impossible for a sheep, to lie down when it's still hungry. It'll get up, it'll nibble here and there, it'll look here and there for something to fill its stomach. It can't lie down when it is hungry. But you'll see the way that the good shepherd here has made sure that his sheep are fed and watered, and our shepherd meets our needs so that we're able to dwell in peace, that we're able to rest. There's a peace in my heart that the world ever gave. It's a peace it cannot take away. And I'm glad today of the peace. I don't have the anxiety that many people have, because I know I've a shepherd who's there to take care of me and meet me at my every need. He is there to provide for me, and I don't need to be anxious about tomorrow or what's going to happen. And all of the things are going to take place because there is a shepherd who provides my need. He wants me to rest. He speaks to his disciples, remember, and he said to them, come ye apart into a desert place and rest a while. He wants his people to be at rest. And if we're in turmoil today and upside down, maybe it's because we haven't learned to lean upon the shepherd that we have. And if we're going to have that peace, then we need freedom from fear. We need free. We think of the sheep and how it can be so easily bolted. A rabbit or something run across its path will cause the sheep to be frightened. And the sheep will run in fright And then dozen others, of course, will follow in blind fear. And maybe they don't even know what they're running from, but they're running anyway. The mere sight of a dog will send a large flock across the pasture fields in sheer terror. But what happens when the shepherd is there? The shepherd gives peace. The shepherd gives peace. The shepherd is able to still the flock. They know that their shepherd is there. And you know, there are many things that will cause us to fear in this life. But our shepherd makes us to lie down in green pastures. Not only is there freedom from fear, but freedom from friction. You know, you think of the order that there is in a sheep flock. And there it's called the butting order, because the rams in particular will butt at one another in order to achieve dominance. And they will drive other ewes away, perhaps at times, from their grazing or from the best bedding, and there'll be fightings and so on. And the Lord uses that picture sometimes in his word of his people. It says in Ezekiel 34, verses 20 to 22, it speaks of the people in the prophet's time. He said, "Ye have thrust with side and with shoulder, and have pushed all the disease with your horns, till ye have scattered them abroad." And there's always the competition to be top sheep. But what happens again when the shepherd is there? That old desire to be top sheep is, the old rivalries go, because the shepherd's there. He's the top one. He's the one who is in charge. So all the rivalries go when the shepherd is there. And you know, there can be all sorts of disagreements amongst God's people, and there can be, in some ways, a desire to be top dog. But when the shepherd is amongst his people, all of the old rivalries go, and we are at rest. And that's why we need the presence of the Lord every step of the way. So, we see something of the shepherd's provision and the shepherd's peace. But then look at the shepherd's protection. Look at verse 4. He says, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." And he protects us from darkness and death there. The word that is translated death there, it means death, but it conveys more than death. It conveys the deepest darkness, the darkness, that darkness, gloom there. It describes like being in a mineshaft or being in a cave. I remember being in the Marble Arch caves, and I think that they do this very often if you're in touring caves, and maybe you've been in some other caves. And they'll switch off the lights. And when they switch off the lights, it's almost a darkness that you can touch. There's absolutely nothing that you can see. It's pitch blackness. And here, the psalmist is speaking about blackness so dark that you can almost reach out and touch it. And here, he's describing his experience in the darkness of life, or even in the darkness of death, going through the valley of the shadow of death. And really what he's speaking about is the worst possible experience that there could be. This is a darkness that colors the whole spectrum of his life. But he says here, is the wonderful thing, the Lord's with me. The Lord's with me. And when you can say that the Lord's with you in the midst of the darkness of life, or even in death, that makes all the difference. Makes all the difference, doesn't it? When we can say that there is someone that goes alongside us, when others can't be with us, when others can't tread the path, there's one with us all of the way. I will go with you. Isn't that a wonderful thing? And then, not only does he protect us in the face of death and darkness, but in the face of enemies, thy rod and thy staff comfort me. I read the story about some people were out touring in Africa, and they had a Maasai warrior as a guide, and they wanted to take some pictures of elephants, but the elephants weren't in the right place for them. So what they decided to do was they would roll a boulder down the hill towards them a little way, and that would maybe frighten them into the place where they wanted them to be in order to take the photographs. But when they started to push the rock, there was a rock cobra under the rock, and it reared up. And it looked as if it was about to strike them. And the Maasai warrior had his club or his rod, and he just fired it. Dead center, hit the cobra, the rock cobra, on the head and knocked it out. And that's the picture here. That's what he's talking about. The shepherd would have had a rod with which to guard the sheep from the snakes and all of the predators that were there. And the club would maybe kill the snake or the dog on the spot. And he says, "Thy rod comforts me." The Lord is there to deal with our enemies. The Lord is there to deal with every situation that we can face. The Lord's my shepherd. Isn't it wonderful to have a shepherd like that? Something else, we're going through this very quickly, but look at the shepherd's preparation. Look at verse 5. He says, "Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over." Sometimes in the summer times, the shepherds would take their sheep up onto the high pasture lands, the tablelands. And you think of the tablelands, that's what they are known of in Spain or in Southern America, which has the Spanish influence, the mesas. And these are the tablelands, the high pasture lands. And the Lord says here that he prepares a table for us in the presence of our enemies. And he is there to make the provision for us that we need. And we think of the encouraging thing that the shepherd has prepared the way before us. He's gone before us, and he's made sure that there are no predators. The predators have been dealt with. He has used his rod and dealt with the predators. Of course, there are many predators who come into the church. We read in the book of Jude of certain men crept in unawares. We read about the false prophets. We read about the apostates who come, and those that teach false doctrine, and those that seek to pervert people and draw them away from the Lord. And if the shepherd is going to do his job, then he will deal with all of those that would attack the sheep, those that would do despite to the sheep. And our shepherd can do that when we trust in him. And he will go there to the table land, and he will rid them of the predators, and he will rid the table lands of the poisons. He'll make sure that he doesn't bring his sheep to the place where there are poisonous plants or plants that the lambs would nibble at and would do them harm, anything like that. And we need to make sure that any poison is taken far away, particularly maybe from young people. Young people like to try this and try that and try the other thing. Maybe they've been told that they shouldn't dabble in this or that or the other thing, but young people being what they are, maybe they like to try it out and see whether it's right or not. But you know, we can't let poison in, because poison is something that's going, you can't try out poison. And sometimes we've got to keep away from the poison. And the Lord warns us about the poisons of false doctrine and the poisons of those things that would draw us away. And the Lord puts the warnings in his word. He says, "Flee youthful lusts." He speaks about all of those things that we need to stay away from. And he guards us from the poisons. He prepares the table. He prepares the table land for us so that we can go and we can sit down and we can be at rest. Well, one more thing. And as I say, I'm doing this pretty quickly. But look at the shepherd's preservation. Look at verse 6. He says, there's another thing after this. One more thing after this one. This is the penultimate, I think. The shepherd's preservation. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And I want you to see the certainty of the psalmist's confidence. He says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And the word surely there is an adverb. It speaks of intense confidence and assurance. He says, this is surely going to happen. He has no doubt about it. It's going to follow him all the days of his life. And you not only see the certainty of his confidence, but the constancy of his confidence. He says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. There's not going to be a day. It's not going to be that the Lord's going to bless me in the summer days, or in the long days, or in the golden light days, or the balmy days. But the Lord's going to help me, and he's going to be with me in the winter days, and the misty days, and the cold days, and the dark days. And goodness and mercy will follow me on my birthdays, and on my death days, and on my marriage days, and whatever days it may be. Thank God there's a constancy to the Lord's provision. The Apostle Paul says, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, are the called according to his purpose. And we remember Joseph in Egypt and how he'd been sold as a slave. But at the end of his life, he was able to look back at all of the awful things that had taken place to him, and the many times he'd been forgotten, and the way that he'd been sold as a slave by his brothers, and all of the awful things that took place, how he'd been lied against. And he said to his brethren, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass as it is this day, to save much people alive. And God meant it unto good, even the dark days, and the trying days, and the difficult days. The Lord was there. But one more thing, I think this is the last one. The shepherd's provision. He says, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. As the shepherd would always bring his sheep into the fold at the end of the day, so the Lord brings his people into the fold. And there's something magnetic and something wonderful about home. About home. And this is our long home. Now, it doesn't necessarily just refer to our long home or to heaven. I think that really the psalmist is speaking here not only about heaven, but about his life, because he is saying that goodness and mercy will follow him all the days of his life, and he will dwell in God's house forever, not only in eternity, but in time as well. And I want you to think about the pleasantness of the house. God says, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. He says, in my presence there's fullness of joy. And at his right hand there are pleasures forevermore. And we are glad that that is going to be a place of bliss and a place of happiness and a place of rest. Not only the pleasantness of God's house, but the permanence. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. It's never going to come to an end. I give unto my sheep, he says, eternal life, or give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any one pluck them, man pluck them out of my hand. And that's something hard to grasp and something hard to take in, but we'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The permanence of God's house. But I want you to think about the psalmist pining for God's house. He says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And there's a longing there. There's a desire. As we say, I don't think that really he's just thinking about eternity. I think he's thinking about this life too, because there's blessings in this life. But how we need to long for those blessings, not only now, but for in eternity. They are real, distinct blessings. They are blessings above. It's once said of Dr. Andrew Bronner that anybody that heard him preach, they would say that he had just come from the presence of God. And then they said that when he went back down from the pulpit and he went back into the minister's room, it was as if he went back into the presence of God as he went into the minister's room. And you know, we need to dwell in the presence of God, not only for eternity, but we can dwell in his presence in this life as well. We can dwell in the presence of God, not only in time to come, but couldn't we dwell with him now? In his presence is fullness of joy, and at his right hand there are pleasures forevermore. The Lord is my shepherd. This shepherd of provision, this shepherd who is there to meet our need, this shepherd of preservation, this shepherd who gives protection, this shepherd is my shepherd. I hope that he's your shepherd too, and that you can bask in the light of our shepherd and walk with him every step of the way. May God write his word upon our hearts for his name's sake. Let's just bow in a word of prayer. Our loving God and our gracious Father, we do thank thee for the shepherd today. We thank thee for the one who looks after his sheep and provides for us and protects us and preserves us and is there to meet our need every step of the way. And Lord, we do thank thee that we can say, many of us here today, the Lord is my shepherd. We pray that each one might be able to say the same thing and be able to know the blessing of the Lord as my shepherd. Bless thy word, write it upon our hearts, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Amen. Can we sing the hymn there, 669, as we close? We'll sing a couple of verses of it. Hark, 'tis the shepherd's voice I hear, out of the desert dark and drear, calling the lambs who've gone astray, far from the shepherd's fold away. Well, there's only three verses in it. We might as well sing the whole of the hymn, and we'll stand as we sing the hymn 669.
Oh,
loving God and our gracious Father, we pray that thou wouldst enable us to bring the wandering ones in. And Lord, those that are wandering away, Lord, draw them to thyself. We thank thee for the shepherd's voice and for the Lord who is our shepherd today. Bless us now, separate us in thy fear and with thy blessing. Take us to homes in safety and be with us for Jesus' sake. Amen.